This morning, our devotional comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are there any announcements before we go to class? The new Sunday school books are here, so be sure and get your new Sunday school book before you go home. So let's go to Sunday school.
Our lesson today comes from the third chapter of Luke and the 1 through 6 verse. And our reading begins in the first verse, and it locates the time frame that we're talking about, because it mentions people's names who are mentioned outside of the scriptures. They're mentioned in the history books of the world. So it kind of gives us this time frame. And it also, I think when you do this, when you read something in the scriptures, and then you find that it's mentioning something that can be traced back through just regular, normal history books, then it brings the Bible a little more alive, because you hear so many people talk about the Bible being just fiction and being a lot of things in the Bible that nobody can trace. But when you can trace something, it just makes it come alive a little bit more. And it says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Tiberius Caesar was head of Rome. He was a stepson of Augustus Caesar. So in his 15th year reign, he reigned from 14 AD to 37 AD. So in the 15th year of his reign, puts this year in about 27 AD. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonius, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. The tetrarch was a ruler. And this Roman province was divided into four areas. A tetrarch rules one quarter of that area. So this is in the area around Jerusalem and Caesarea, where Herod ruled. And it says, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, they were two high priests that were in office at the time. So all of this leads us to say that in 27 AD, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Bear in mind that when this was written, when this occurred, there was no New Testament as we know what the New Testament today. So the scriptures they quote come from the Old Testament, which is what the disciples used at that time, was quotes from the old scriptures. And this particular quote comes from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 3 through 5. So this this new way, or so it's called out, was the preparation of the people for the establishment of the earthly kingdom that was going to be established by Jesus, which is, as we know, is the church that we go to today, or that is in the world today. And it says he came into the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Now, you will find, I believe you can find, that there are many references to baptism. There's water baptism, but there's also a spiritual baptism that's mentioned in the Bible, and I think that kind of throws people off, because a lot of times they're talking about a spiritual baptism, not necessarily a water baptism. And so people get this feeling that the water baptism is what puts them into heaven. And we know that that's not true. It says right here, he preached the baptism of repentance. Now, it didn't say anything about water. It says the baptism of repentance. And we find in the second chapter of Acts, and the 38th verse, let's go back to the first verse. Let's go back to the first chapter first, where Jesus said in the fifth verse of the first chapter of Acts, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So see, there's this other type of baptism we're talking about, and Jesus spoke of it. So, you know, you can say that baptism is an immersion, and it is normally thought to be an immersion in water, but you can also be immersed into the Spirit, covered by the Spirit. And I believe that's what happened to each one of us when we were saved. I believe we were baptized in the Spirit, immersed in it. And so this is what I think they're talking about. Now, the thing that I like about this scripture, that it says he came into the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, is here we are 2,000 or so years later, and we're preaching this very same thing. Isn't that amazing? 2,000 years later, how can that be? Oh, this Spirit is it's a mighty being out here in this world, this Spirit is, because it's taken care of that gospel message below these many years. Now, Jesus gave the same commission. He said, go into all the world and teach and baptize believers. And he said, I'll be with you even until the end, I'm paraphrasing, end of time. And he said, I'll send the Comforter. And you know who that was? That's the Spirit that we feel today, that can come in and sit with us, comfort our very souls, and lets us know what this baptism is speaking of. I just feel sorry for those who live in this life today that don't know the Spirit.
Amen.
I really do. Because what would this life be without the comforting of that Spirit that John came preaching about? Because what he preached about was salvation. And sure, he baptized with water. He did. But he told them to repent. It had nothing to do with baptism. He told them to repent. And if we didn't have that, if we didn't have that in our hearts today, we'd be, of all things, most miserable. And I think a lot of people today in this world are most miserable because they don't understand this spirit that John came talking about. And Jesus spoke to. And the witnesses that we have on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came upon the scene and thousands of people were saved and people were able to understand what other people were saying, that's just one thing that the Spirit can do. I've never had the Spirit so strong on me that I could understand what somebody's saying in another language, but He did it one time. It came from all over the known world at that time to Jerusalem, speaking all manner of languages, and they all knew what was going on. Isn't that just the most amazing thing that you've ever heard? I've never witnessed that. But I tell you one thing, I have witnessed the Spirit. I have met Him time after time after time. You just feel that little comforting feeling that you get when you know that God is by your side. And you can feel it. I mean, you can reach it. And you know, the old saying is, the Spirit was so strong there you could have cut it with a knife. Well, I've been there and I felt that. When you know that the Spirit is just enveloped around all of His people in a service somewhere, some day, some night, where the Spirit is, and you just, it's just the grandest place to be. Mm-hmm. And here we are 2,000 years later still feeling this same Spirit that I think that guided John out into the wilderness. And I don't remember, maybe it doesn't even say how long he was out there. He was out there long enough though for God, I think, to give him his marching orders, you might say. However long it took for him to get his marching orders and come back to the areas and start preaching the Word of God. The same thing that I believe that Brother Mac is going to do this morning.
Yes.
The same Spirit that called Brother Mac to bring the gospel message took John into the wilderness and showed him what he had to do. And wouldn't you like to just have been there when God was dealing with John and telling him this is what you've got to do? When you left it in there, when he told Paul, this is what you got to do. Well, Brother Maggot has met that same Spirit that somewhere or other, whenever it was, told you what you had to do. And every Sunday, when he gets up in the pulpit, that same Spirit that we're talking about here tells him what he's got to do. And he can speak to this more than I can, but if you don't do what the Spirit tells them what to do, there's a payday coming.
Amen.
And it could be the next hour.
Yeah.
Could be the next day. You have to follow the Spirit.
Amen.
If you want God to ever bless you in your life, you have to. You have to follow the Spirit. And that's what John did. Aren't you thankful that John, I'm kind of all over this subject right here, but this is what the lesson is. John came out of the wilderness. It just told us what time in history it was. But he came out and he preached. And aren't you glad that John came out and preached? Aren't you glad he took that flock, however many it was, and baptized them in the river of Jordan? That they became a part of this earthly kingdom. That, look, here we are 2,000 years later, we're still a part of it. I believe we are a part of it.
Yeah.
I strongly believe that what John had a part in, and what Jesus did when he was here to establish his kingdom, that we are a part of that. And if I didn't believe that, knowing I've got God in my heart, if I didn't believe that we weren't a part of it, I wouldn't be here this morning.
Sure.
I'd be finding me a place that I believed that was a part of it, because he only established one place. John didn't come out preaching but one night. That's all he preached. He preached repentance.
Amen.
Nothing else. He didn't preach any signing a roll book. He didn't preach any coming up and shaking somebody's hand. He preached repentance. And then when they were saved, I'm not going to go to it, but he asked them before they got baptized. He asked them a question that we still ask today. Give us an account of what happened to you when you got saved. Because everybody that's been saved can give that account.
Amen.
This same spirit that John followed out of the wilderness, that same spirit leads us to join this earthly kingdom. And I'm proud to stand up and tell what God did for me. I don't have any issues at all. I'd be kind of worried about a church that didn't want to hear my testimony. Because who knows what kind of route I got to that point. Who knows? So not only did John come out preaching, but John came out laying down a foundation for us, landmarks for us to follow. Preach repentance, preach baptism, and give them to tell you a message that they received from the Holy Spirit. And what was it? God saved my soul when I was 7 years old, and I am so proud of it. I don't have a bit of problem of standing up and telling the church what God has done for me. And all of this was given to John by the Holy Spirit. He came into the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance. And I don't know what sermon Brother Maggard is going to preach to us today, but there'll be repentance tied up in it somewhere. Because from Genesis to the end of this book, there is a message on repentance. There's a message for us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know, the world doesn't even, they don't understand that, because I remember, I know that when I was a child, before I was ever saved, I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I didn't doubt that. I mean, that's the way I was raised. I was raised in Sunday school, and they said Jesus was the Son of God, and I believed it, but that didn't save my soul. That didn't save my soul. Repentance is what led me to salvation. I had to go somewhere that I didn't even understand. I didn't understand repentance. I didn't know what repentance meant. That Spirit had to lead me, had to give me some guidance, had to kind of help me through that time that I just didn't understand. And that's what John's purpose was. He came out preaching repentance, and the Spirit was left to show him what to do. John brought the message to him, and the Spirit took it from there. Well, that's what he did. You know, when I think back, that's what happened when I was saved. Brother F.L. Ray, who came along after John the Baptist, but I think in a direct line with John the Baptist, he came along, and F.L. Ray preached to me that day, and I felt conviction in my heart, and that was nothing more than the Spirit telling me I was lost. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know exactly what to do, but by the help of the Spirit, I got through it. And you know who I got through to? I got through to God, because the Spirit that led me to God knew God Himself and helped me also to reach through and pray that prayer that I prayed, that our Lord in heaven heard and said, He's there. He's at a place where He can be saved. I got to that place as a young boy. I don't ever need to go to that place again. He did it once. That's all I need. He did plenty for me. These people that John came out of the wilderness preaching and laying down this road that they were to travel, these people didn't need any more than what they got when John told them about repentance. And if they fell down and repented, they're saved today. They're in heaven today because of what John did 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to be in heaven whenever that is, because of what John did 2,000 years ago when he heeded what God told him. And he heeded what the old prophets had said. And the old prophets had said that you find in Isaiah 40th chapter, it says that the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path. Listen, they knew. Isaiah knew that John was going. Now, he didn't know his name was going to be John the Baptist, but he knew that there was going to be a man. And you know what I think Isaiah also knew? I think he knew that John, whoever that man was, I think he knew he was going to do what God wanted him to. do. I think Isaiah knew that.
Yeah.
Isaiah wasn't wishy-washy about this. He prophesied that there's going to be a man that's come out of the wilderness. And preaching and teaching, Isaiah could see that. And he knew that John was going to be able to do it. And aren't you thankful today that John did what God wanted him to do? Aren't you thankful that John had the spirit about it to do what God wanted him to do? And I don't know why, it just came to me, but aren't you thankful that when Jesus and John, before they were born and they were in their mother's womb, that when they came in contact with one another, that John could feel that power and said that he leaped his mother's womb? Aren't you thankful that the Spirit is there? Aren't you thankful that the Spirit can be felt here this morning? Just like it was 2,000 years ago when John came out of the wilderness and laid down this pathway that we are following here today, 2,000 years later. What a glorious time it is to be in God's service. What a glorious time it is to be saved by God's merciful grace. Listen, in the 11th chapter of Matthew, let me tell you what Jesus said. 11th verse of the 11th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." That's what Jesus thought of. And I'm thankful that he was strong enough to heed God and his directions and come out of the wilderness and teach us about repentance. And we have his record today. And we know that he came. And we know that he gave his life for this cause. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he, not that he had to die, but I'm thankful that he was willing to give his life for the cause. That's another wonderful example that John left for us. That he was willing to give up his life for the cause, as many, many, many people have done throughout time. And I know that we, in this time that we live in now, no one, at least in our country, has really ever had to give up his life. But that don't mean we won't. And there's been others around the world that have given their life.
Amen.
And maybe we're giving it today, somewhere in this world. But I thank God for his Spirit and for what he's given us. That's my lesson I've got. Anyone have anything they'd like to say? Well, one thing you have to
make sure you do what he said is, and he knew that.
He did.
To make sure that John did what Isaiah
said it was going to. Well, one thing that he did, he made sure that his name was going to be John. Because usually they named him after their father or somebody, maybe in the family somewhere. And it wasn't anybody named John in Zacharias' family. And I know one thing to keep that from happening, that he closed his mouth up and wouldn't let him speak the whole time. And one of the first things he said when his mouth opened was, "His name should be called." And I don't know why that touches me. But you know, God was evil. And I really don't know why he had to be called John. I don't know why. I mean, John could have done the same thing if he'd been called Zacharias Jr. or whatever it might have been. John could have done the very same thing, but that wasn't what God wanted. God wanted to be called John. One of these days we may know why he wanted him to be called John. I don't know. I don't know why he wanted him called John, but I do know that was one reason he silenced Zacharias. Unless you know why he...
I have no idea. So, and some of my thoughts on that, he was silenced. If he had told him his name would be John, they'd been fussing about naming him something else.
Well, they probably would. That's the way families are. Yeah, they might have fussed for the whole 9 months if he told him he was going to call him John. But I don't think anybody had any doubts when he was born that he was going to be called John. I don't think anybody had any doubts, because there for 9 months, his father had not spoke a word. And then when he was born, he walked out and said his name was going to be John. I don't know why.
I bear back and read, it's been a while since I've had, but did he not get a tablet and write his name to be called John, and then his mouth was loose?
Maybe that's what it was. I don't remember. I think I remember that now. Yeah. So anyway, anyone else?
I have a slight problem when I pray to the Lord. I address our Heavenly Father first. Dear son. And then when I come to the third night, say the dear, holy, sweet Holy Spirit, thank you. And then he'll get a good conscience that I'm not sending him out above the Father and the Son. And then I said, Father God, Lord, please forgive me. I'm just happy to have the sweet Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I have a problem with that. In my little mind, the Lord will work it out. He knows. And I tell him I love him with Jesus too, just as much as I love.
And, well, it's different from anything the world knows. I'll tell you that much right now. Totally different from anything that the world ever could even comprehend. And I don't even know if I could explain it to someone outside what it means to have a hold of the Spirit. They just don't understand it, because they've never witnessed it. They've never seen it in action, and they've never felt it. So, yep, they are.
The Holy Spirit, in the nature of his part of being God, does not seek recognition. He is there to give recognition to Jesus, who paid the price for us. And even though he's equal with Jesus, he's equal with the Father. And we should be thankful to all of them, you know. But the ultimate goal, the Father gets joy out of us giving praise to Jesus, because just like a natural father would, when somebody, you know, says something nice about their child, you know, and so God, the Father, gets praise when we acknowledge Jesus and do anything for him or whatever. And the Holy Spirit's job is to, and maybe this is wrong, but they kind of be a cheerleader for Jesus.
He does a good job.
To encourage us to magnify the Son.
Yeah, he does. He does a good job at that. Yeah. But the world don't know that. The world is in ignorance when it comes to the Spirit. And how grand it is that these scriptures are as good for us today as they were back when John brought them to us. His words are just as potent today as they were when he spoke them to that crowd of people whenever he came out. And that's because of the Spirit. That's because of the guiding hand of God. Anyone else? Jimmy, would you dismiss us?